Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 106. We are doing Dust Festival as part of our live month event. Live events month. I get that. This episode, we will be going into a little bit of detail about Dust Festival. For those of you who don't know what Dust Music Festival is, it is down in Tucson. It happened back in October. It was a wonderful time and a very first attempt at music festival down in Tucson, Arizona. We were able to sit down and chit-chat with two of the creators, Steve and John. They let us come in and sit down with them and just kind of chit-chat about how they got started, why it's important to do things like this to disrupt the kind of flow of music artists and talent. Also, kind of the importance of local artists and keeping them within Arizona and trying to provide a new kind of festival for the experience of Tucson. So we got into a little bit of everything. We hope that you guys enjoy this one. Again, with these festivals and all of this planning, I'm always curious about the minds that go into it. And this is no different, being that this is probably one of the first festivals down in Tucson at this magnitude. I hope it was something very enjoyable for everyone who got to go. I didn't, unfortunately not, and it was because we were actually going to another spot and we are keep moving and constantly, but I hope that everyone enjoyed themselves and I'm sure it was a wonderful time. It was too amazing of a group to not be organized well. So shout out to all of them who put this together. And let's jump into a little bit about what we have to do to make the bills be paid. So you can reach us at findingarizonapodcast.com. You can also reach us at all our social media at Finding Arizona Podcast. That's under Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also, if you would like to be on an episode, drop us a line over at findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com. And we have received a lot of your guys' posts, and if you guys want to be a part of the show, I do get the emails. Just on a personal note, this episode will be dedicated to my grandfather, who recently passed. Steve Uvella was a man of integrity. He served his country. He was a great man and a great grandfather to me. And learning about his passing really affected my family, and to lose someone of that caliber and someone of that kind of knowledge and background has been hard. And this episode, I'm doing this intro about a couple of days earlier than I normally do everything. And it's just because emotionally, I don't think I would be ready to do something like this at any other time. So I'm trying to rip the band-aid off and really make this count because it's important to me. So to my grandfather, I love you very much. Thank you for everything that you taught me. So let's get this episode started. Episode number 106. Thank you very much. So, let's get into it.
So much of like the vendors and everything, like it's more. Yeah, the food's stages. Cool.
Yeah.
A lot of the people we've done podcasts with, their vendors, Keep It Wild, State
58. Yeah. We've massed an assortment amount over the year, like 2 years that we've been doing this, and it's been fun because a lot of them just like end up remembering us and they're just like, oh, what's going on, and like. Right. They just love seeing us every time we get to go over there. So let's jump right into it. And the name of the game is we're going to speak a little bit closer to the mic so that we can get everyone's vocals in. Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jose. We are here with two gentlemen down here in Tucson today. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves and what you guys are doing, why we're here today, because it's a really big deal. So we're excited.
Steve Sartagoulias.
Steve.
And I'm John Rallis.
John, thank you both for coming, and we are all here today to talk about one thing, and that's Dust Festival.
Yeah, Dust Music Festival.
Dust Music Festival. I got to clarify that, and it's it's very interesting to see something like this down here in Tucson. And I want to, one of the first pivotal questions I want to ask you guys is that Tucson, you know, you guys are from here, and so I would assume that that's the main reason why you're holding it here. But tell us another reason why Tucson is so significant and why you're having, putting this very intense music festival on.
Well, I guess I could just start with that. I think the number one reason is Tucson just needs a big alternative. Alternative, hip-hop, DJs, we kind of do a bit of everything, but multi-genre music festival.
Absolutely. And I'm going to let Steve answer for himself. Just like, we're going to go back and forth. Sound good?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
No, the reason the Dusk All came about, it was John's vision for many years. And, you know, him going to Coachella, me going to Outside Lands, and some other larger festivals.
Yeah.
John kept saying, let's do it. Life gets in the way of a lot of things, especially projects like this, families, the birth of our daughters, restaurants, his business, my business, you know. And then finally he said, look, if we don't do this last year, someone else is going to do it, and we're going to kick ourselves.
Yeah.
So we dove in. We talked about it. I said, if I can get other partner Paige on board, then well, let's do it. So Paige, I think his answer was yes. We'll figure it out later. You know, and that's kind of how it was. But getting back to why we're doing this, it's just about Tucson. You know, we really want to make Tucson a more of a cultural hub, have more significant things for millennials and, you know, people under 40 to do, keep some talent here.
Absolutely.
You know, companies look at this kind of events when they look at a place to move to. You know, where should we go? You know, are my employees going to be happy living there if I transplant them out of a bigger city?
Yeah.
You know, more things to do. And we always felt Tucson needed a larger music festival, and it's just a thing that we want to give back to the community for being so good to us over the last, you know, few decades of our lives.
Yeah. And it's just wonderful to see something like that, because you guys took an opportunity from your own lives and just saw something significant that you could bring back into the city. What are some misconceptions about making a music festival like this, like some common pitfalls that you guys have run into?
That it's easy.
Yeah, it's far from easy.
I think that's one of, like, have you guys, like, can you go into detail? So some of the, like, downfall, like some of the pitfalls, like just to be someone who's trying to maybe think
No matter how well you're planning it out, there's just going to be surprises. You can't do anything about that. Everybody has that in their everyday business. But in this, it's probably more intense just because it's all in a time crunch. And just when it all gets put together, there's just no way that it can go 100% perfectly. Yeah. So,
Have you guys, like, have you guys done, like, smaller ones to kind of, like, ramp up to this, or is this, like, full-on dive in?
I would say it's somewhere in the middle, but more towards the full-on dive in.
I mean,
Steve obviously has a lot of events here that he does in his courtyard. And I've had a little history of doing events as well.
Okay.
Yes.
And our partner, Pete, out of Colorado, has had, with Illegal Pete's here in Tucson, he's had a lot of, he's done a lot of events. He's done one at Red Rocks, actually.
Oh, very cool.
Which is a very big event, so.
Yeah. He's got his own record label.
Oh, very nice. Very, very cool.
In Colorado. He's a very artist-friendly restaurateur.
Yeah.
Where traveling artists do come through town. He feeds them.
Yeah.
He's got some good programs there, but getting back to the, you know, about putting on a festival, like John said, it's once a year.
Yeah.
So you don't have that repetition. You don't have the opportunities to work out all the bugs until the next festival. So it's not like, you know, if you, you know, in the restaurant business, you screw up a dish, you have another opportunity to make it right within probably minutes.
Yeah.
Right? You know, during lunch and dinner and
Absolutely.
Peak times. This is very, okay, put it all together.
We only get one chance at this.
One chance. And that's the one thing we've talked about a lot is we felt last year was our first year. It was a one-day festival.
Yeah.
We had an amazing lineup. I think we did pretty well attendance-wise. Not the numbers we wanted, but we felt the overall experience of the festival was not, I don't think anyone who showed up to last year's festival felt like it was put on by four guys doing their first music festival. And professionals told us that. We had a couple, we had a
guy out of
Denver, or Boulder, who runs a pretty large music company up there. And he told us, he goes, you know what, you fooled me if this is your first one. So I feel that the experience is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we're building the lineups. We jumped to a 2-day for 2017. Okay. So it's grown.
Yeah, absolutely. And to see that growth habit and that growth for you guys must be really encouraging. And to hear wonderful things like that from others is probably very significant. One of the things that I want to hear from you, from each of you, is what do you guys feel needs to happen to make this event, I guess, that next step, that step forward that you guys are talking about? You know, growth and everything like that from last year. What would you guys feel individually, the things that need to go right to make that step forward?
Yeah, I mean, that's it can be gauged in a lot of different ways. I mean, but like Steve said, just the part about it being you don't get the repetition, so it doesn't always stay on people's mind. But I think in order just to keep it on people's mind, it's more community involvement.
Okay.
Because I think that kind of caters to bringing more people and more groups in, and that's one big part of this. Like it's catered to everybody, and we
absolutely
we go out and talk about it in a lot of different settings with a lot of different groups. So, but more community involvement, just because it has to grow organically as well.
Yeah, and I think I mean from the lineup, just from my perspective, the lineup that you've set up, I love it a lot, because there's a big flow of like not only the bigger name, but like as you go through it, you see a lot of community development too, especially with I want to comment like one guy in particular because I know him, the rapper, I forget his name, he's from here.
Lando Chill?
Lando, yeah. Lando is awesome. I've seen a couple of videos of his. We've actually met a friend of his that we've had on the podcast, but I think that he's a wonderful talent that you guys highlighted there in particular, because I feel like, you know, giving that opportunity for community growth and, like you said, keeping the talent here is a wonderful aspect. So let's jump into what you...
No, and that's a good segue into, you know, building off of what John said, too, about how do we keep Dusk for the longevity? How do we make Dusk Music Festival an event that people just know it's coming every year, get excited about, and wanting to go? So it's up to us to create the buzz and the lineup that's going to draw people in.
Absolutely.
But it's what John says. We need to involve the local community and local artists, and staying in front of the community 365 days a year in some capacity, knowing what can we do, you know, a week after the festival, thanking everybody first, and then saying, how can we stay in front of them? Can we do little events? You know, just little things that is a Dusk-sponsored event that knowing, okay, these guys are doing something. They're going to be around because when October hits or the day we select for the next music festival, we really want that to be in the people's minds.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, not to sit, you know, push our own buttons, but I think you guys coming, you know, letting us come talk to you, I think is significant. I mean, it says a lot about someone who's, you know, wanting to be a part of a community and wanting to be a long-lasting co-partnership like that. And that's because we want the same thing. We want to be able to share that kind of moment and hopefully be able to highlight guys like yourself who are trying to make that big change in the community. So thank you for letting us come by. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're vested in the community with businesses and generations here. So we really want to make this something for Tucson.
I have like a smattering of questions. I mean, one in particular, you guys are both entrepreneurs. I want to get kind of like your routine and how you guys fix Dusk Festival while you guys are both fathers and entrepreneurs owning your own businesses. What does a normal routine day look like for you during the workday for each of you?
It starts pretty early for me, and it, you know, just involves getting my daughter off to school, all that, and then starting my, you know, the Dusk job, and my regular job's kind of, you know, taking a back seat for, you know, a couple months during this process. And it just ranges. I mean, we're trying to work a lot of different angles, have events at different places, just kind of getting awareness out there. We're at, you know, 3 events today. So that's kind of what I focus a lot of my time on. and executing the events. We're at a lot of concerts. We're at a lot of places like that.
Yeah.
Where we're just kind of spreading awareness.
Okay.
And that's where I spend most of my day.
Got it. And then
I just squeeze it in as when I can.
Yeah.
You know, and thank God for technology, texting, emails.
Yeah.
It's saved us. I mean, we communicate. I don't even know, 200, 300 texts probably a day minimum.
Yeah, that's, you know? That's incredible. Yeah. Well, that was like kind of one of the things that I wanted to point out is that you guys are in constant communication and you guys each do significant parts of this festival. And that's kind of the point of the routine is like, you know, successful people typically have a morning routine or something that they kind of keep a part of their lives. Are there anything like that that you guys keep as a habit to keep yourself at least semi-mentally sane for something like this?
We both work out. You know, that's my saving grace in not just with dust, but in life. Mm-hmm. You know, just if I can get 3 to 5 days in a week,
yeah,
it takes my mind off things, kind of recharges. But that's, you know, I try to do it early in the morning.
Yeah.
My mornings wouldn't start. I know it's dusk season when John's calling me at 6:08 a.m., you know, and then if I don't answer, he's calling me again at 6:22. I know it's dusk season, so.
That's awesome. Are you like a morning person? Do you get up like super early?
Yeah, it's, they're fairly long days right now. I'm not used to staying up this late a lot of the time.
Oh,
It's a 16-hour-plus day right now.
Oh, wow. Thank you for being at least coherent enough to like talk with us for a little bit.
No.
The reason there's a lot of things that like, you know, the kind of perspective wise, you know, I'm really trying to learn from other entrepreneurs like yourselves. Is there something that you guys wish you could have told yourselves when 15 years ago when you were starting out? What kind of advice you would give yourself?
Wow. I think it's flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always just stay flexible.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, stay within the lines, but, you know, just understand everything's not going to go the way you think it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ways to bring it back in,
mm-hmm.
and just stay focused on your what you're trying to get out of life, but keep your integrity. You know?
Absolutely.
If you say you're going to do something, do it.
Yeah.
But flexibility, I think, is key in life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think flexibility is a good one as well. But just, I think, staying the course on what you do, and you know, trying to finish it. Like, that's why we felt no matter what, we needed to give it a good few year run on this, no matter what. And I think that's just an important thing. I mean, that's advice I'd probably give, you know, the younger generation. Just stay the course. I mean.
Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that we kind of talked about and that's very insightful that I've gotten from this is that, I mean, I've started this podcast without any kind of anyone really giving me direction or kind of pointing me out. It's just kind of an aha moment for me. And the thing that you guys brought up is if you don't attack something or you don't try and attempt something right away is, you know, you're going to kick yourself if you find out someone does it the year after. Like if you just wait that.
Yeah.
You know, waiting for the perfect moment. And so I appreciate like anything like that when I get tidbits like that and just kind of feel good about starting something like this. And it's really fun.
There is no perfect moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree so much. Here's a good one. One purchase under $100 that's left a positive impact in your life in the past 2 years, 5 years, whatever it may be. The purchase, maybe let's do the past year that you've made under $100 that's made the most significant impact in your life.
I don't know. That one's a really tough
one.
Under $100.
That's a great question.
Yeah. I like to give them a little bit of a stumper.
Business related?
What's that?
Business related?
Yeah, business related. Yeah.
Or just anything in general.
My portable iPhone charger.
Absolutely.
I mean, that thing has saved me.
I don't even want to say that, but like, yeah, my extra one as well. That helps. I go through about 3 batteries a day. So.
What? That's crazy. Yeah, I don't
leave my house without my charger. I'm very
repetitious about that.
Yeah, I mean, a dead phone is worthless.
Yeah.
It's a paperweight.
Yeah, exactly.
Point, you know, so, you know, I always feel like you need a charged phone.
I mean,
it's very important. It's how we communicate. A lot of business is done on my phone.
Are you a, let me ask you that. So are you more of a phone call, let's get this done over voices, and rather than kind of like, I mean, I know that in face person to person, but you could get a lot done. Are you more of a conversationalist and getting it done over the phone?
You know, it's a blend, you know. I mean, I try to take meetings, you know, and I have a, you know, I'm kind of fortunate that I can just invite people into the restaurants.
Yeah.
They come on in, you know, we'll have lunch, we'll have a drink, whatever it takes. So, we just kind of hang out, and if it's...
That's a good vibe.
Whatever I have to jump on, you know, whatever medium. If it's got to be voice, in person, if it has to be text or email.
Yeah.
You know, I respond the way that if the person calls me, I call them.
Got it.
If they text me, I text them.
Got it.
It's just one of those... you know, I just want to follow course. If someone texts me, you know, I think you just stay in the same medium.
Yeah. How about you, John? Are you, I mean, it seems like your side is more face-to-face and kind of interactive in that portal.
Yeah, that's definitely me. You got me on that. So, and I like talking things out, but.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, I think that that's a necessary part of any kind of position and being face-to-face and getting to know, especially your customer, your base.
Yeah.
You know, what's for you, as your base, you're trying to find out what you want to bring into Dust Festival. What are some of the tips that you can give to someone to when you're trying to really understand your medium and things like that? What are some things to help promote something like what you're trying to do?
Well, I think just trying to hit it from every level. I mean, social media is obviously so important in these types of events.
Let me ask you this. What... How long or how many times do you post a day, and what medium do you use the most?
Well, on the dust related stuff, I think it's pretty evenly spread out. I think it's between Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I would say our crowd is probably in the Instagram and a little bit of the Facebook world, but Instagram's pretty important. So, and then I think the grassroots approach too. I mean, being out there on the street, talking to people face to face about it. We try to work as many events as, like I told you, and get out there. And we have a lot of other, you know, the digital world as well. Yeah. We're doing a lot of digital marketing, and we have 4 or 5 billboards up around town.
Oh yeah, so, that's really cool. Like, what part of the neighborhoods do you try and typically hit, that like college town area?
Well, we're on 4th Avenue, which is, you know, a big area here in Tucson, and going into downtown as well. And then a couple other ones just on some, you know, artillery roads.
Yeah.
And just right in town. So
as you're coming in and welcome to Tucson. Oh, also, we got dust.
We got dust.
I like that. I like that.
So, yeah,
it's be everywhere. Those,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, just get it out there and make it known. One of the things that I think is really cool that you guys are doing is investing, like, in a lot of the community time. Was there a major investment for that you guys did to make your early start successful? Like, you know, was there some kind of major investment, or is there a major investment that you could suggest to someone wanting to start their own, like, festival or something like that, that they can...
The capital?
Well, I mean, any kind of investment, education, like something. It could be anything under the sun. Just something that people should really, really, like, invest in prior to doing something like this.
Well, they should go to the, you know, every type of music festival they can, and you know, look at, you know, watch everything they can there, and I suppose try to find trends that are applicable to their area.
Okay, I like that.
So.
Yeah,
so,
it's very important to know your audience, and as much as you think you know them, you don't. But you should always focus on, okay, who am I going after? Mm-hmm. What age group?
Yeah.
What demographic? What? And for Tucson, you know, we have to be very broad. You know, so we've, you know, and that's why we have, you know, from hip hop to DJs to, you know, Milky Chance. On the alts, you know, on the alternative side, and it's you have to just really be dialed in.
Yeah.
And as much as you think, you'll never be ready.
Yeah.
But it's you should just, like John said, do your homework.
Okay.
Go see what works in other cities.
Yeah.
And apply it to your own market.
Okay.
And talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, don't be afraid. You know, that's part, I think, keeping dusk in people's ears year round. I think this year we'll be better prepared to say, who do you want to see? What can we do to make dusk better? You know, and I think once you start hearing, you know, some things over and over again, those are things you want to, you know, focus on.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we kind of keep iterating on and the your base and kind of building something like this, what things did you take after the very first event that you took to kind of help your progress, to help you push forward? What are some of the feedback that you got? Where did you go to get feedback?
Well, just from our consumers. I mean, I'm out there talking to them. We have a lot of ambassadors at the university and around town that work with us, that help us with promotion. I mean, it was funny the other day, somebody told me, you know, this is the first time I've ever seen a show where rival promoters are working on it, you know, and I didn't even realize that. I thought that was kind of funny.
That's
I didn't
awesome.
Even know who any of them were. But it was, I just think getting more people involved, and obviously, you know, bigger artists, I don't want to, you know, last year we really enjoyed our lineup and it was great, but we feel like we've taken, you know, more of a, we've gone out more to everyone now, and I think we've expanded that net maybe.
Yeah.
That you like to cast out there and see what you can capture. So I think we've done that this year. And that was important.
Yeah. I think that is very significant. And it's one part that you guys are doing something crazy like this. Like, it's here in Tucson. Besides this event, what's one crazy thing that you do that other, like, people think it's just crazy, but you do it, and why do you guys do it for that reason?
Besides doing dusk?
Yeah.
Because crazy is a good word to describe it. You know, it really is. What else do I do that people might think is crazy? Well, the restaurant business in itself is a pretty crazy industry.
We've heard some stories.
Yeah.
We actually had a gentleman on our episodes, one of them, owns a couple of like chain restaurants, and I don't know how you do it or if you keep insane, or he was like ready to be retired and ready to be done with the restaurant business.
It's a grind, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Same time.
I would think so. I mean, it's food. Like,
it's food.
It's like good,
you know,
food.
I've been, you know, I'm blessed with my locations.
Yeah.
Where I'm at, I get to see a lot of friends and family come through.
Absolutely.
On a daily basis, where I wouldn't see them in any other occupation.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the things that I think is interesting that you guys are doing here is one part music and another part is you just bringing in a lot of the community members. I would like to ask you guys individually, I mean, you guys look like very well-read individuals. What's one book that you guys want people to read, or what's one book that's been most influential in doing something like this?
Well, there's actually a lot of festival guides out there.
Really?
A lot of them are pretty helpful.
I did not know that there was like a book on festival, like festival guides.
I think you can find anything online.
I bet, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, there ranges from like 5-page write-ups to 30 or 40 or 50. And,
yeah,
I think those are all good things. They haven't created a running, what is it, the dummies for throwing a music festival?
Oh, they haven't made one of those? Yeah, I would think that they would do that.
I don't know. Maybe
that's next.
Patent pending.
October 8th, it starts. Yeah. Right in the book.
Yes. Would you like to chime in on what education you've gotten that has been most influential in your life?
I think just life experiences.
Okay.
You know, just trying things and just, you know, tackling a lot of different...
Let me ask you this. As a restaurant owner and as an entrepreneur, like, what's that risk? Like, what's probably... Here's one. What's the most risk you took on a dish here at one of these restaurants? Like, what is probably your riskiest, because it's, like, out of the norm?
You know, I would say a Union, because we're a gastro pub.
Yeah.
And beer and whiskey bar. we threw a ramen dish on there.
Ooh.
And, you know, and being a gastropub, and I don't like the term gastropub, mm-hmm. but, you know, American comfort food.
Yeah.
And you can kind of go whirly with that. One of our chefs, he always had an Asian, he had an Asian background
yeah.
in cooking.
Okay.
And always wanted to throw a ramen dish out there. And we did, and it's, you know, it's stuck around now. And
nice.
It's become quite popular, but at first, I love ramen.
Yeah.
I just didn't think we'd be able to pull it off.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, finicky things that you just don't know if it's going to swing one way yeah. or another. Has it been surprisingly successful?
No, extremely. And it's been very well received.
Oh,
and,
very good.
You know, if you guys are in town, I'll treat you guys to lunch on the way out of here.
Absolutely. Well, we're kind of like rolling today. We're like taking photos okay. and like making the most out of Tucson today.
Great.
One of the things that I want to talk to you guys about is we keep talking about this is a music festival. We got to get into the music. Why, you know, why certain, I mean, one being Big Sean for sure is your, one of your lineups, you know, break us down the lineup and why you chose some of these guys and give us also a little bit of a highlight reel of like who's going to be there and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, no, well, I guess we can just start with Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, he's going to pull out the phone, and I love when the phone comes out because this means that he is prepped and ready for something like this I love it. No, because it's detailed oriented. Like, I love when notes come out.
No, on Friday, we have a blend of some hip-hop, pop DJs,
yeah.
some college DJs on the second stage, and we have Lando Chill shutting down the second stage.
Yeah, shout out Lando.
Yeah. And then we have Madison Beer, who's a, you know, up-and-coming pop singer right now, opening
okay.
up the main stage. And then DJ Jazzy Jeff's going to do a DJ set.
Nice DJ.
That'll be a special thing. And then we have Vince Staples, who will be on the main stage as well. And
have you met him?
We haven't met him. We just...
he's a podcast guy, and he seems like a real chill, like, funny guy.
Yeah,
he's an intellectual.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, I've seen him on, was it Bill Simmons thing? And he's like a really big nerd on, like, sports.
John was... We talked about that, how he does that exact podcast we were talking about. And then we shut it down with, you know, Big Sean, star of the night.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Big Sean out of Detroit has been in the music business for over 10 years, hit it big, I think, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's got some real big hits right now in the top 50. He's got, he was on the number one song with Calvin Harris.
Yeah.
You know, and with Katy Perry, and was it Rihanna? Who was that song?
Pharrell
was on that. So, you know, really excited about Big Sean. And from what we understand, he's bringing quite the show. He's bringing a huge production with him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's
when the truck comes along with them, the semi-truck comes along with them, you know it's going to be a good show.
I think his crew alone is 36 people.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. Like, that's
I'm feeding them, so I got the count the other day.
Yeah.
So 36 people. You know, and that's a huge production.
Yeah. I
mean, And from what we've seen on what he did at the iHeart Radio show festival in Las Vegas last weekend, really opened up some eyes. I think he won over even some non-hip-hop fans.
Nice.
That were just like, wow, his production, his show, his presence was amazing.
That's so good to hear.
He's going to bring that same show to Tucson. So, Tucson, get ready for an amazing show by Big Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, I mean, let me ask you guys, in particular, what is something that you guys are definitely going to be at the tent or watching for sure on stage?
That can just, you know, that can change very quickly. we'll go through Saturday maybe really quick, and then we'll get into that as
okay.
well.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah, so Saturday we have a lot of great local acts. We have Sergio Mendoza Band.
Nice.
Mendoza Orchestra.
Okay.
Who are great.
An orchestra, that's like how many pieces?
Orchestra Mendoza, yeah. I think 14 piece.
What? That's insane. Yeah. Like, that's an incredible amount of number. I've only ever seen like a stage like that with like, how many? Like 12? A 12-piece band?
Yeah, he puts it on. It's a great show. You know, like John says, we have a local stage presence, and then we have our national stage. And, you know, I'm excited to see you know, a few of these guys, you know, not all of them, but, you know, DJ Jazzy Jeff for sure. I'm a little bit older. So DJ Jazzy Jeff grew up too with Fresh Prince. Yeah. And yep. I've seen what he's done since he, you know, since the Fresh Prince went on to acting and mm-hmm. and he stayed in the music business and he just puts on a really good set.
That's good
real,
to hear.
Real fun. And Ben Staples, an up-and-comer, newer guy, you know, that I'm, you know, want to get familiar with.
Yeah.
Big Sean, who I'm a fan of. And then, you know, on Saturday, just with, you know, some of these younger DJs that we've got, and then Milky Chance, you know, they're one of those bands you've heard, you know, dozens or hundreds of times, but
yeah.
you just never put the name in to the song.
Okay.
And you're like, oh, I've heard them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of their songs has like 338 million downloads
shoot.
On Spotify.
Okay, yeah.
So, it's, you know, and then Lewis the Child, he's a heavy U of A favorite.
Okay.
And a lot of the kids here,
nice.
For some reason, have always said, get Lewis the Child last year. Get Lewis the Child. So here's Lewis the Child.
Here's Lewis the Child for you.
Yeah,
like, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
So we're excited for them. And then, I mean, Aoki. I mean, he's...
Oh, my God.
He's you know, he's a yeah. god. I mean, the guy is one of the hardest working DJs. I think he did over 275 shows last year. He really works. He's not only working dusk Saturday, then he's jumping in a plane doing a 1 a.m. set in Vegas. I mean, this is a guy who puts on a show, you know,
oh,
the cake,
yeah.
the party.
I was gonna ask you, are you gonna do something? I mean, you are the owner.
We're not allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, but it's gonna it's.
Just I imagine like a 12-foot one, just like God.
I mean, Aoki is, you know.
It puts on a great show.
Great
yeah,
show. It's
absolutely.
A great way to end the festival. It's
absolutely.
Gonna end on a high note. We're really excited.
Yeah.
You know, and Tucson is just, you know, gearing up for quite a show.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you guys. I'm gonna let Brittany, do you have, we always throw it to Brittany for one question. Do you have a
just
quick
one?
Question? Well,
that's all I get.
Yeah, they give me a hard time because they know I like it's always like when it's Brittany never gets to talk because everyone knows who she is, and I always try and induct her into it. So I mean, I give it to Brittany's corner, like I like to call it.
Brittany's corner time. If you weren't doing what you're doing now, what would you be doing? Completely different field. What would you be doing?
I'm not quite sure. I would say what I'm doing is what I'm doing, but at the same time, I don't know. I don't think I'd rather do anything but this. It's a real grind, but
it's good that you. It's like
you know.
Passion.
I just think I mean I live it and breathe it every day, every which way, 365 days a year.
Absolutely.
So I would have to say this is it.
this is the literal it.
Yeah, I enjoy what I do. You know, I've done a few things in my career, and I've enjoyed every single one at the current time. So I'd never say no, but you know, I enjoy what I do, and I think that's the most important.
Well, John, Steve, thank you so much for having us. I appreciate it. I won't take any more of your time.
No,
but the last bit of our podcast is where you guys can promote. Let everyone know where they can find you online, social media. That break it all down for everyone.
Sure, yeah. You can go to duskmusicfestival.com and you can get tickets there and you can see the lineup and different blogs we have going on about what's going on at the festival, some of the amenities and so forth. And I guess that's about it on that end.
Absolutely.
Check out our socials on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat.
Twitter.
Oh,
can't
nice. Forget about Twitter. We got some good info, some really good content, videos. Yeah. From last year, videos leading up to, you know, showing the artists what they're doing this year. It's
yeah.
just a good hype videos.
Absolutely.
Getting Tucson ready. We have restaurants. We have, you know, we have local artists.
Yeah.
So come support your local artists. See some cool displays. We really have some cool stuff this year
yeah.
that we haven't seen. But one of our other partners saw some stuff, and he was blown away. And for Paige to be blown away by the art,
yeah.
it means something. So we're really excited
that's beautiful.
For that. And come support Tucson. That's what it's all about, making
yeah.
Tucson
absolutely.
Better so we can grow this music festival and make it better, grow it, make it a 2 or 3, go another day to 3 days, and just
yeah.
keep bringing more and more national and combined local talent. That's what, you know, combining
I love to
the
hear
world.
That. Thank you so much,
thanks,
gentlemen. I appreciate it. And then, as always, you guys can reach us at Finding Arizona Podcast and under all our social media, Finding Arizona Podcast, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And if you want to help us out just a little bit, you can go to patreon.com/Finding Arizona Podcast, where you can receive an extra episode every month. And with that, we say goodbye. Thank you, gentlemen, so much.
Thank you.